but it exceeded our expectations. We'd been very hopeful that we would get 100,000 people to New York. That would have been by far the largest climate rally that had ever taken place on the planet. But instead, the thing just exploded. You know, I almost have to apologize to all the people who came down from all around your listening area. There were amazing busloads of people from Vermont and from the Berkshires and from the Hudson Valley and from the Capital District and everywhere. Some of them had to wait 2-3 hours just standing in place before they even got to march because there were so many people. I think what's going on is that this issue is finally front and center where it needs to be as the most important issue in the planet. This was not just the biggest climate rally. It was the biggest political gathering about anything in a very long time. And it was the willingness of people to take the time and energy to get there that did that. You know, the fossil fuel industry has all the money. Our currency is passion, spirit, creativity, and warm bodies. And all of those were in evidence on the streets of New York.
Bill, you did mention that the issue is now front and center. What do you think is motivating so many people to come forward?
Well, I think the fact that for 25 years, the scientists have been telling us what's going to happen. We now can see it happening all over the world, you know, pretty much every day somewhere, like the incredible fires burning in California in the hottest, driest year they've ever experienced. A combination of that and a deep frustration with the inaction of our political leaders to pay any attention, to do anything about the biggest problem we've ever faced. At a certain point, people just give up waiting for these guys to do the right thing by themselves. If we're going to match that fossil fuel money, we're going to have to do it with movements.
Bill, obviously this was held just before the UN meeting. Did you see, I mean, other than Ban Ki-moon, did you see people from the UN flocking to this also, or think they paid any attention to it?
Yeah, no, look, politicians pay attention to numbers, and there were people marching 2,600 rallies around the world, and some of the other ones were sort of solidarity marches were big in and of themselves. But nothing's going to happen at the UN this week. It's kind of like a professional wrestling match, you know, lots of speeches and sound and fury and whatever, but it's kind of the outcome fixed in advance. But over the next year or so, leading up to negotiations in Paris, we're very hopeful that this kind of increased pressure will help. And it's coming not just from protesters. The perfect cap to this most important day in the history of the climate movement, the Rockefeller family announced that their foundations were selling all of their fossil fuel assets and they were joining this massive divestment movement. That's the first huge fossil fuel fortune on Earth, and that they're now getting out of it is a signal moment. It really, really makes it clear that the hydrocarbon age is at the beginning of the end. That's good news, but the open question is, can we actually end it fast enough to matter, given the dismal science? And because of that, I mean, we're going to have to press all the harder. It'll take civil disobedience. It'll take money pressure. It'll take more marches and more letters to the editor, more Facebook posting, and more of all the things that we do before we reach the place where we need to be. But we're a lot closer now than we were 24 hours ago.
Well, obviously, we still have some climate deniers in control in Congress. What needs to be done?
I think that at the moment, they're climate deniers not because they have any scientific arguments, but because they listen to the money that comes from folks like the Koch brothers. That money's probably going to be there for the foreseeable future, although I hope that we're able to reform campaigns and campaign finances, and we work on that. But given that fact for the moment, what we need to do is make them at least as scared of us as they are of the fossil fuel industry. And the only way to do that is to keep building movements. If you change the zeitgeist, then things start to change. We've seen that in the civil rights movement. We've seen it 2 or 3 other times in American history. Man, do we need to see it now.
Well, you're seeing more religious groups say climate change is happening, and that's always been a big base for them.
Absolutely, and it's very important. I was just with the secretary of the World Council of Churches, representing 580 million Christians around the world. They've announced they're divesting from fossil fuels. There's a big, big interfaith gathering of significant religious leaders going on in New York, and they're coming to the same conclusions. It's a very, very powerful moment. If I were a complete optimist, I'd say we're going to win. I think we will win. I think the question is whether we'll win in time or not. I think at the moment we're still losing, but we're gaining momentum, and that's all we can do at this point, organize as hard and as fast as we can. And again, an enormous shout-out to people across the WAMC area. Look, the climate movement kind of began in Vermont in a lot of ways, and it's always found great strength up there. I came down the Hudson Valley last Tuesday speaking in Albany and New Paltz, and every place I went, people say, we're running out of buses. We can't find enough to hire for all the people who want to come to New York. And it was when I heard that I knew that this was going to be a bigger thing than we dared hope.
According to the People's Climate March website, 550 buses from across the country and two dedicated trains carried people to New York City for the rally. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.